Good morning, afternoon, everybody, wherever you are, in Jesus' name. Thank you for this wonderful day today. We are so excited to be here. I hope the anointing in your place is well as strong as it is here right now, as that the anointing is just coming here and flooded this place. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. And I'm excited. I am so excited to be here. It's such a joy to be here with you all. Okay. We're carrying on the How to Overcome Financial Challenges series. I'll be doing several of these. And the reason I'm doing this is because going into the end times, we're going to need to be properly set up. And I want you to think about what we can do to get ready for when these more challenging times come. Now, we believe that Jesus is coming soon. But regardless of what you believe, let's look at some facts. The government tells us inflation is at 8%. I believe it's more like 12 to 15. I love our government, but they're very good at skewing figures. We'll talk more about that later. Okay. Now, if inflation is at 10%, let's say, that means that this year you got to make 10% more money than last year just to break even. And next year you got to make more money than 11% than last year just to break even. And then 12% more and 30%. And it goes up as long as inflation stays that high. Also, look at the challenges coming toward us. China's threatening to go to war with Taiwan. Now, we saw what happened to the economy when a country we hardly knew about, Ukraine, was at war with Russia. What happens when China goes to war with Taiwan? Where are you going to get your chips for your computers? What kind of problems are we going to have with the supply chain then? So there are challenges coming down the road. Now, the good news is that with God on our side, we can get through anything. If we hear Him, listen to Him, and follow His advice. Now, I've noticed something very interesting in my own life, that since I've been praying more and more in my spirit language, it's taking a different change. It's starting to get into a lot more vocabulary, and I'm noticing it has almost a oriental flair to it, which is kind of interesting since my wife is Chinese. But it's been great, and I've been hearing more clearly from the Holy Spirit than I ever have in the past. Now, that being said, today's title is Live Debt-Free and Have More Prosperity. Now, I probably should really name this Increasing Cash Flows, because debt is only one challenge we're going through right now. But if you are debt-free, I've still got some things for you to help you show increasing your cash flows, which will help set up more things for the future. Okay? So let's review what I did in part one. Okay? The Bible requires that every Christian be a godly steward. God is your CEO and your boss. He's your steward and your manager. When you steward yourself, you have maximum impact with minimum stress. Stewardship is entrusted to you by God. No matter what kind of steward you have been, you can improve and be a better godly steward by managing your life with excellence according to God's way and not your own way. Now, I want you to consider yourself CEO of your life, because you are. You're going to make every executive decision you need to make. Now, if you look at corporations, sometimes Corporation A owns Corporation B. Corporation B has a CEO. He makes every decision for Corporation B. He's still in the guidance of Corporation A. Well, that's where we are. God is Corporation A in this situation. We're Corporation B. We have to do everything as excellent as we can to make sure that God is pleased with how we're handling things, okay? Now, as I said before, challenging times are upon us. This is only beginning. We need to be like Joseph in Egypt to prepare now for challenges to come. And we'll talk about a couple things here. The world and the world governments are doing things that are not good for us. You can see all over the world where Christians have been persecuted. We all know about that. But I was reading an article a couple months ago where the United Nations wants the governments of the world to confiscate all the farmland. Now, if you think about that for a second, go back to Joseph in Egypt. What was the main catalyst challenge? Famine. Well, when you control the food, you can control the world. And that's where the governments of the world are going to. Okay? So our job is to get ready for when those things happen, to be able to take control of those things, okay? I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I do know that it is in discussion in the high-ranking chambers of the United Nations, okay? All right, so we're going to get ready for it. We're going to be prepared, because no matter what the devil throws at us, with God, we can handle it. Okay? Great. So we overcome being a godly steward, manager of our lives. We manage our time. And we must take a Sabbath day of rest. If we're not taking a Sabbath rest, it means we're not trusting God that He will take care of us. And the analogy I like to use is a car without oil. You don't change the oil, you can go for a while, but sooner or later that car is going to break down. If you don't take your rest, sooner or later your bodies are going to have challenges. Okay? God's instructed this for us. It is a commandment. It's not a suggestion. We must schedule into our week one day of rest. And that's so important. And in these challenging times, we'll touch a little bit more later on, the world sets up where people have a tough time getting the rest they need. Okay? All right. Now let's remember that 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. We don't love money. Money is a tool. Proverbs 11:14, seeking godly advice is wise. Okay? We go to people who are godly, that know what we're looking at, to answer our questions, and the Bible, as well as our spirit language here from the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 to 12, work with your hands that you may lack nothing. Now, remember that everywhere in the Bible, somebody had to do something. Nothing was ever just done for them by God. And that's a counterfeit that's out there today, that God is in control and God will do anything. And God is not. He's given control over to us. And our job is to listen, but we have to do something. Moses had to raise his rod to part the Red Sea. Okay? Show me anywhere in the Bible where God just did something without man involved. No, because he gave control to Adam. Adam gave it to Satan. Jesus took it back and gave it back to us. It is up to us to do our part. And if we don't do our part, God won't do his. It's a contractual covenant agreement, so we have to do our part. Okay? Now, Malachi 3:10, Genesis 28:22, pay the tithe, 10% of your income, first to God before paying other bills. Okay? If you're not tithing properly, nothing's going to matter, because the devourer will eat your lunch. We talk more about that later on in another sermon, but that's the bottom line. You must be given at least 10%, okay? Matthew 13:8, be glad in expectation, receive 36 or 100-fold from God when you give extra financial offerings to your church above your tithes, okay? So as God leads you, give more, and he will bless you back. This is one way to get a control of your finances, okay? Romans 13:7, pay your bills and taxes on time. Proverbs 13:11, have a savings plan. Proverbs 21:20, don't overspend. Proverbs 27:23, balance your account regularly and live by a budget. And as we know, those are challenging times today, because if you go to the gas pumps and see that your price has doubled from 2 years ago, you got to figure that in. You have to make changes to make that work. Okay? If needed, implement a debt reduction plan. Provide for yourself, dependents, and those in need, like missionaries and the poor. Now, I use this analogy a lot because it really means a lot to me. The Good Samaritan couldn't have been the Good Samaritan if he didn't have the money to be the Good Samaritan. If he was just barely getting by, he couldn't help that man. But because he was a businessman, he took the man to the inn and told the innkeeper to take care of him. And when he came back through, he'd pay whatever else was owed. Now, I believe that the Good Samaritan stays that in often. It doesn't say this in the Bible, but my thought process is they didn't trust people back then. So unless this innkeeper knew this businessman, he probably wouldn't have taken him. But he knew this businessman, so he took care of the person that was hurt. And I'm sure everything was taken care of because of it. But the bottom line is that he had a reputation and he had the money to take care of this man. And there are going to be times coming down the road where you're going to see things that you need to help people with. You have to be ready for it. And God will bless you back for it. But as we are heading more into more challenging times, as the devil keeps throwing more and more of his fiery darts at everybody, we must be ready. And one of the main tools we use are financials. Now, people say, why do you talk about financials so much? Jesus talked about money more than anything else. Read through the Bible. He talked about people's prosperity and how to get money, how to take care of things, because he knew the end times were coming. Now, if you've read Revelation, the biggest weapon that the beast will use in Revelation is you will not be able to buy or sell. So therefore, we have to have some way to handle when the beast takes over and those challenges come to pass. Okay? We must prepare now. What I know is that as we're better prepared now, we better set up when the challenging times come. If we wait till the challenging time comes, it's too late to prepare. Okay? All right, we must also be a steward of our time, talents, words, and money. We must watch our time. Time is one of the best investments we have. Notice you spend time. Okay? We cannot waste time. Now, I'm not saying don't ever have relaxing time, but be careful what you're doing with your time and use it wisely. Talents. If you've got skills that you need to use, you need to develop them better so you'll be more able to use them when more times get tough. Okay? Words. Our main focus on ABC starting Healing School 1 is watching the words of your mouth, being sure that your words edify and your words speak positive things and speak what you want. And like what Pastor Joshua often has to say, think that every word that comes out of your mouth will come to pass. That's really how powerful you are. Okay? And money. As we control these things, we control our lives. And the devil's unable to control us. The other thing is, no matter what it looks like in the world, no matter what the news is telling you, never quit. Keep pressing on. Okay? So the title of this one is Live Debt-Free and Have More Prosperity. All right, so section A, number one. Do you live by God's standard to owe no one anything except to love each other? Romans 13:8. Okay. Number two, do you want to fulfill your financial destiny for the kingdom of God? Now, you have to think about this. Even Jesus had financials. He had a budget so deep that Judas could steal from it. If there was only 2 pences in the envelope, Judas couldn't have done anything with it. But Judas was often stealing from Jesus' ministry because he had money. He had opportunities to do things. If you read about the fishes and the loaves, they come to Jesus and says, where would we buy food for all these people? They didn't say, we don't have enough money to buy food for these people. Where would we buy? And then, of course, we bless the fishes and loaves and so forth. But the point is, Jesus had money, and he operated in it, okay? Now, I want you to think about something for yourself. If money was not an issue, how would you advance the kingdom of God? What would you do if you had unlimited money? How would you bless? What problem would you tackle to bless? Is there a ministry you'd want to support? You know, like the people over in the Taiwan-Burmese area where they're rescuing all those children. Would we support that? What about, helping Christians in other parts of the world that are struggling? What about sneaking Bibles into China? What would you do? Would you do something more locally? You know, helping ministries that say do something against the sex trade and things like that. Who knows? But you know what you would do. There's something in your heart that you need more money to bless. Okay? All right. Now, number four, question for you. Can God's words teach you to overcome obstacles of lack? Hopefully you'll say yes to that question. Okay? And number five, regardless if there's a worldwide problem like inflation, do you believe that God can help Christians overcome all, keyword all, challenges, even and including financial challenges? Okay. All right, I want you to think of it like this. Money is a tool. You can't love a tool. That's why love of money is evil. But money is a tool. It's how you use it. It's a very versatile and misunderstood tool, okay? But it's so important because it's how we do everything. It's how we trade labor. you trade labor or concepts for money, then they use that money to go out and trade for what somebody else's labor is. It's the balancing effect. Now, as inflation's pressured more people, they've noticed the squeeze on them with their cash flows. Now, cash flow is like oxygen. I want you to think of it like that for just a second here. I'm going to use several analogies here, but bear with me. I'm trying to drive some points home here. Back in the 50s, early 60s, there's an old TV show called Sea Hunt. Now, I know you young people are too young to know about this, but I'm explaining it to you. Lloyd Bridges was the actor, and he was the hero of the show, and he was a scuba diver. And whenever he went scuba diving, there was always somebody that came out to attack him, okay? Now, the way you win a fight underwater, because you really can't punch underwater, there's no power behind it, is you find a way to get the other guy's scuba tank and cut his air hose. Once his air hose is cut, the guy had no choice but to go straight up to air, okay? And the fight was over, all right? Cash flow is like oxygen. Back in the 80s, Chrysler was worth billions of dollars, but they had no cash flow. They almost died as a company until Lee Iacocca came in and revived the situation. But the bottom line is, people have got hundreds of millions and billions of dollars in things that they can't liquidate, that they can't do anything with. They have no cash flow, and businesses will dry up on that. Okay, and your life is the same situation. If you do not have the cash flow to pay your ongoing expenses, you will have problems. And a lot of people are very comfortable because they've had a good season, they've had a good run. But if this economy turns south and there are more challenges to people, those cash flows are going to start getting squeezed, and the time to prepare is now, okay? Now, what is good debt versus bad debt in the section B, okay? Good debt is when God leads you to get a loan for your business or ministry, and God will guide you how to start to grow your business or ministry. Now, we're going to 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elijah, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." Okay, that's pressure. And Elijah said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." He then said, "Go and borrow vessels from everywhere, all your neighbors. Empty vessels, do not gather just a few." So she had to go out and creditly borrow vessels from everybody. She was responsible for those vessels. She had to take them. And she got as many as she could. "When you've come in, shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones." So she went from him, shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her. She poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, and she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel," he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. So her ability to grow was based upon her ability to borrow vessels. If she could have borrowed 10 more vessels of oil, she would have been able to fill up 10 more vessels of oil. But she could only borrow as many as she could do. Okay? Then she came out and told the man of God. He said, "Go and sell the oil, pay your debt. You and your sons live on the rest." So she was in the oil business, okay? Great. Now, for those of you who don't know this, I used to own Subway restaurants. I had three of them, okay? Each Subway cost $250,000 to open. Before I had one sale, I had to put $250,000 into the special flooring they had to do, the counters, the refrigerators, the freezers, getting the lights turned on, the insurance set up. The list goes on and on. Had to hire and train people before they could even make a sandwich and make a sale, okay? So I put down $50,000 and borrowed the rest for the first one and paid it off. I did the same thing for the second one. Now, when I went for the loan for the third store, my banker said, "Jim, you're as good as gold. We'll do 100% loan for you if you want." And my loan was approved instantly, okay? Now, I had to borrow $750,000 to set up three stores. But they were eventually all paid off, and we made great profits doing that. This debt was an investment, was not an extravagance, okay? Now, when you do things for reasonable reasons and ways, even to bless the kingdom of God, God will help you repay the loan. Number B there, 2 Kings 6, 4 through 7. And the sons of the prophet said to Elijah, "See how the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan, and let every man take a beam from there, and let us make a place where we may dwell. So he answered, Go. Then one said, Please go, consent with your servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and they came to the Jordan. They cut down trees to the Jordan, and they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water, and cried out to the last master, for it was borrowed. Now you have to imagine that iron was a very precious metal back in those days. An axe head would be very, very expensive. Okay, if you've ever seen the axes that had the wooden handles in them, you know, they get wobbly and they come off. You have to put things in there to hold them on tight. You know, this does happen. Okay, so the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. So see, even Elijah had to cut off a stick and throw it in. He had to do something. But in doing something, the miracle happened and the iron floated. Okay. Then he said, pick it up for yourself. He reached out his hand and took it. Now trust me, he put it back on the handle. He secured that thing very, very tightly as he came to his work. But the bottom line is that God knows when you're borrowing something, and he will help you if it's the right thing for the right purpose. Okay. Number C, Deuteronomy 15:6, God can bless you to prosper, become a lender who reigns over many nations. Okay. Deuteronomy 15:6, for the Lord your God will bless you and lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You shall reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you. Okay. Deuteronomy 28:12, the Lord will open up to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Now, obviously, the United States has not followed this advice. Okay. They will tell you that they're like $23, $25 trillion in debt. The truth is they're $123 trillion in debt. That comes out to between $950,000 and $1 million per taxpayer. Okay. Just to break even. There are a lot of things they're not reporting. If I put a business plan down and didn't report those things, I could be arrested for fraud. That's how bad that is. Okay? So the United States has got some serious problems. We're going to talk a little more of that in a little bit. Now, borrowing can be a good debt if it saves you money or makes you money. For example, if you need a car to get to work, okay, go buy a car, go to work. Don't buy a Rolls Royce. But buy a car. Get a good quality car. Okay? Good debt can be utilized by properties of a credit card. This system uses your credit card as a tool to strengthen your financial position. That is achieved by making purchase of things you need, not just desire, and pay off that debt at the end of the month, avoiding interest. This will cause your credit to improve for a higher rating. Now, first of all, I'm all for wise use of every tool available to you. Okay? Now, there's a financial person out there that says he wants you to put everything in cash, in envelopes, and budget that way. So much for food, so much for gas, this is the envelope. When that envelope's done, you don't use it anymore. And I get the concept of that. I have a challenge with that, though, because during the pandemic, there were a lot of places that didn't take cash. And that's going to come down the road again in the future, as the governments are pushing us away from cash, because they can't track cash. But they can track every penny you spend on a card. Okay? But that being said, a lot of these cards come with rebates. If you use them wisely, you can spend the same amount of money and get rebates. Now, one of the owners of my company, for 30 years, he's had a Costco account, and he's used the right credit card with Costco to buy his business supplies. He was buying them anyway. So he goes to Costco and buys them on the card. He gets $1,000, which is the max you can get there, every single year for 30 years. That's $30,000 for doing nothing but using a card. Now, he is very disciplined. He's worth millions. And he pays the interest off every month. So it's like a cash transaction as far as he is concerned. So if you have the discipline to do that, then that's something I'm going to suggest. You know, Citibank, J.P. Morgan, probably some of the other banks will offer you cards to give you rebates. But you must be disciplined. And you must use them wisely. And then take the advantage of that money and use that to invest in something. Okay? Now, number G, exercise spiritual prosperity the knowledge of God, Jesus, and self-control. And we're going to talk a little bit about here. Reading these scriptures, they're both the Amplified and the New King James. May God's grace, God's favor, and peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts be multiplied to you in the full, precise, and correct knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. For his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness. And through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory with excellence virtue. By means of these, he has bestowed upon us his precious and exceedingly great promises, that through them you may escape by flight from moral decay, rottenness, corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers and partakers of the divine nature. For this very reason, add into your diligence the divine promises, employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue, excellence, resolution, Christian energy, and exercising virtue and develop knowledge and intelligence. And in exercising knowledge, develop self-control, and exercising self-control, develop steadfastness, patience, endurance, and in exercising steadfastness, develop godliness. So now, by going to God, realize there is a world out there that is very corrupt and very challenged. And we are in this world, but not of this world, okay? But by staying with godly principles and using the diligences and wisdom from God, we can get through this minefield together, okay? Now let's talk about bad debt. Bad debt is unwise. Bad debt is like a slow choking. You know, it creeps up on you a little bit at a time. Now, I'm going to have a little fun here. I'm a Usain Bolt fan. I think this guy is fantastic. He's an awesome, awesome athlete. He's also a gentleman. Every time I've seen him interviewed, he has been very polite to people and talked to them nice, and none of the arrogance of the athletes. But I would have a chance to beat Usain Bolt in a race. I would ask him just to carry the paper, and I'll race against him. And he'd look at me and laugh and say, that 6-year-old guy can't beat me. And he'd take the paper and get ready to race. Oh, no, that's not how you carry it, Usain. What do you mean? I want you to carry the paper. Like this. And hold it wide open. And what would happen is, the faster he ran, the more the resistance would hit him, and the slower he would go. Now, I'm bringing this up for a point. I don't know if I could still beat him or not because he's such a tremendous athlete. But the point is this here. If you're tacking on bad debt, it becomes a greater resistance challenge the more you go. Now, I'll come back to this in a minute. You see where it says misuse of credit cards and unwise loans? Okay. We must use things reasonably and wisely. Now, I'm all for loans that go into business or loans to help you make more money or a student loan if you're going to get a job that pays good money, doctor, lawyer, or something like that, engineer, whatever. Unwise business loans. I knew this guy. This is back in the 80s. He had $50,000 in student loans, which saved him about $200,000, okay? He had a PhD in English literature. He was selling jewelry because there were no jobs for PhDs in English literature. The teachers who would teach that weren't going to retire for another 20, 30 years, so he was selling jewelry. So he had a bad debt, okay? So whatever you do, it has something that's going to pay you back, then it's a good debt, okay? And pay back in a reasonable amount of time, okay? Now, overspending addiction is like a spendaholic, you know? If you got free coffee at home, my office building has a coffee machine on every floor that's free for anybody in that building, okay? Yeah, I watch people bring in their coffees from the coffee shops. And I'm surprised at that. Okay. Now, I knew a guy once, and he was telling me he was $300 short on his budget every month. And I got talking to him. He spent $300 at one of the big coffee shops. I said, well, buy a coffee pot. He goes, what? I said, buy a coffee pot. It's the best investment you can make, you know. He goes, I don't have time for that. I said, have you seen the lines of those coffee shops? But the point is, he didn't do it, and he still spent $300 a month, which was, you know, $7,600 a year. I've told other people this, and they just don't seem to get it. They can't get the concept around this. I'm going to explain this a little better. Let's take that $300 a month. Let's say make it even $7,000. Now, do the math with me. Don't get detailed on, oh, my credit card doesn't charge this much. Just understand the concept I'm talking about. And I know that we're going to pay it down over my, I get that. Bear with me for a second here. Okay. $7,000 that because he spent it on coffee shop things instead of taking care of his home is now on a credit card. And for the sake of this discussion, that card charges 20%. So to pay off that $7,000 worth of coffee shop items, he's got to now pay $8,400. Okay. Now to make $8,400, how much do you have to make? Well, he's got to make $8,400 plus his taxes, his Social Security. So Social Security is 7.5%, and to make it simple, we'll say his taxes are 12.5%, so it's 20%. So $8,400 times 20%, drop the $1,600. Now he's at $10,000 to pay off that $7,000 worth of credit card debt. That's how much work he's got to do to pay off those coffee shop things. My point is this. I'm not saying don't go to a coffee shop. I'm saying use wisdom. Break the habit of going to things that are draining you consistently. Okay? Benjamin Franklin said this. Beware of little expenses. A small leak can sink a ship. Okay? So what we're talking about here is basically getting control of your finances, and that will help you be a blessing to the kingdom of God. Okay? So mismanaging funds is not focusing on paying monthly bills on time and using the money for frivolous entertainment instead. Now, such as not giving tithes and offerings, but going out to dinner and a movie. Okay. I had a tailor shop for a while. I love that business. Fun business. I had two checks bounce on me. One was a girl that wrote a check for a boyfriend, then they broke up, so she stopped payment on it. Okay. But the other was this guy. He pulls up in front of me with the biggest BMW I'd ever seen at the time. And behind it was a cabin cruiser being towed. He was going somewhere big for fun. His $4 check bounced. I think his priorities are out of line. Okay? I didn't bother going after the check. It wasn't even worth the phone call. But the point is, you know, he was way misappointed. He was way overextended. And I see this all the time. It takes people years to dig out of these kind of mistakes. You know, it's, the Bible talks about discipline all the time. So we do that. Okay? D, misappropriation of funds is using money designated for something specific for an unintended purchase or purpose, you know, such as, oh, not paying your taxes, but taking a vacation out of state and going somewhere expensive, you know. Now, E, the borrower becomes slave to the lender. Now, that's the person who's, like we're talking about, using money inappropriately. If you're borrowing for business purposes and things are paying back, that's not a problem at all. But, you know, I worked for Household Finance for a year. And it was the toughest job, one of the best educations I ever had. But we were loaning money back in 1981, I guess it was, for 36%. And people were breaking the doors down to borrow the money. It was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. And they were barely getting by, but they want to take a vacation. And they were going to borrow money that would take them, you know, 4 to 5 years to pay off. I just couldn't quite get that. But people do that all the time. And they are going to be really in trouble when things happen. Now, what did happen was, back in those days, we had a factory that made tractors. They were a competitor to Caterpillar. They were called Alice Chalmers. And the factory closed down. And they moved all their operations down to South America because the expenses were too high in the United States anymore. And many of those people then went bankrupt and lost everything. That was a real challenge for them. So the reason here I'm saying this is to get you ready that when things happen, we must be prepared. Okay? So let's go to Matthew 6:24. Okay? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is deceitful, riches, money, possessions, whatever is trusted in. Okay, I don't trust in money. I love this country. I don't trust in our government. My faith is in God and Jesus Christ, that they will show me what to do. I will use the tools here to get through this system, but I don't trust them. I'm cautious, and I look very, very hard at that. Okay? Section G. Bad debt is selfish, it's ungodly yoke, and a burden. If someone is burdened with stress, yoked to bad debt, then he or she does not realize he or she is serving Satan. Who is the god of mammon? The god of greed, the love of money. And he or she is operating the world's financial system and not the kingdom of God's divine system of prosperity. And that's what this is about. The kingdom of God overrides everything on this earth when you use it properly. And when you get in their divine system of prosperity, it does not matter what the enemy does. You will get through it. 2 Timothy 3:1-9. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Do you think we see that a lot right now? Having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make the captives gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. Always learning and never able to come to knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith will progress no further, for their folly will manifest to all as theirs was also. So there is a world out there that hates God. There is a world out there that's doing all kinds of sin and wicked things, okay? And they're going to come against God and God's people, okay? Now, Thayer's Greek Lexicon Historical Biblical Research says that Jannes and Jambres are the two Egyptian sorcerers and Egyptians that competed with Moses using their ungodly sorcery. Now, this is found in Exodus 7, verses 10 to 12. So in 7:10, Exodus 7:10, so Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, so the magicians of Egypt, they did in like manner with their enchantments. For every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their magic rods. So the devil is going to try to imitate God. That's what he's trying to do. And they're trying to say that, you know, they're right and God is wrong. And we're going to stand on the word, but the devil is an imitator, but you have godly power. And with this godly power, you will be able to survive and get past any challenge the devil throws down there. Even when the devil's trying to act like God, he cannot, because he does not have godly power. We have godly power through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He has given all power to us, power to step on serpents. Given all power to us. We have the power through Jesus Christ, but we must learn how to exercise and use it properly. And that is the challenge. And that is why we have healing schools and School of Dominion. So people will learn how to use their power properly. And the time is now to get ready. I mean, think of this. We all see the show Rocky, you know. He's going up against Apollo Creed, you know. What if he didn't do his exercises and walked into that fight, right? I mean, it shows him working out and running past the ship and all the stuff that he did. He'd have been clobbered, but he prepared for the fight. We've got a fight coming. There's no way to get away from it. The question is, are you going to prepare and be ready for it, or are you going to get clobbered? That's the question, okay? Now, the F.B. Meyer's Biblical Commentary explains this passage of Scripture of 2 Timothy 3:1-9, which describes a dark picture of evil men, especially the Egyptian sorcerers, Janus and Jambres. So there was a lot of evil back then. And there's a lot of evil today. And we got to be ready for it. Okay? The last days of the present age are to be dark and sorrowful. So I'm telling you, it's coming. You cannot avoid this. This is decreed by the Lord. Sinful rejection of Jesus Christ will come to a head. We see that all the time. You know, I see people wearing satanic shirts all the time. Nobody says a thing, but if a kid wears a cross or something in school, they get scolded and thrown out of school. There's something wrong with that. Okay? We must not be misled by widespread profession of the forms of ungodly religion. This may coexist with rankest apostasy. When people are conscious of sins against God, society, and themselves, they are very liable to the seduction of false teachers who promise peace and condone impurity. There's a lot of peaceful promises out there, but people have no intention of letting you be in peace. They are liars. Okay? Tares, weeds, evil people, and wheat, godly people, grow together into the harvest. The devil has always set himself to be a counterfeit of God's handiwork. The Egyptian conjurers repeated the miracles of Moses by resorting to sleight of hand. Time will show what is true and what is false. In the meantime, let's examine for ourselves whether we live in faith. Okay. Now we'll go down to number H here. Do not guarantee someone else's loan. Proverbs 6:1-5. If you become security for your neighbor, you're giving your pledge for a stranger. You are snared by the words of your lips. You are caught by the speech of your youth. Do this now once earnestly, my son. Deliver yourself when you have put up yourself power for your neighbor. Go, humble yourself, and beg your neighbor. Pay his debt and thereby release you. Okay? Give not unnecessary sleep to your eyes nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself as a roe or a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, as a bird is from the hand of the fowler. When I was in household finance, we had parents who committed co-sign for their children. And it was the saddest thing when I have to call the parents up to pay the debts for the children because the children didn't pay them. And we gave them the loan based upon the security, and the parents did it out of love and all this good stuff. But the problem was the parents were decimated. And at 36% interest, those parents paid a lot of money to bail out their kids. And I know one set of parents went bankrupt bailing out their son. Okay. Do not put up security for a lender. If it's not a good loan, walk away from it. Okay? The bank will let the person know if it's a good loan. If they want security for the loans because they know that the kid's not going to do it, the person's not going to do it. Okay? They know their business very, very well. All right? Okay. Section C. Wise steps to be debt-free and have more prosperity. Now, Pastor Osara actually mentioned this the other day. This strategy works off very, very well. Okay, you line up all your cards that you have and your debts that you have, and you pick out the smallest one. You pay it off first. And let's say that the payment of that smallest one is $20. Okay, so you work and pay $40 and get that one paid off. Boom, it's done. Okay, now, the next smallest debt has a $40 payment. So you take the $40 from the first payment, add to the second one, and now it's $80, and you knock that one down. And you have moral victories. You see improvement here as you do this, okay? As you continually knock down these cards off of your system, you will grow in confidence in what you're doing, you know? Now, when this is all paid off, don't go spend that extra money. Start putting that money away for the future, okay? Put it away for the future because, trust me, we're going to need it. The devil will set up everything he can to make sure that we have hard times in the future. Okay. Now, number two, wisdom is better than strength. Ecclesiastes 9:16. There was a poor man. He had an answer that would have saved the city, but nobody listened to him because he was a poor man. I didn't make the rules, but it's in the Bible. You can have the best advice going forward to people. But people don't respect people who are poor. Now, we're heading to end times, and we're talking about how we can help our families and bring them to ABC. And we're talking about how we can help people get ready for the end times. But if we're not showing success ourselves, why are they going to believe us? I want you to think about that. This is designed to set you up so when you go to your friends, family, and loved ones and say, we need to talk about this, get them saved, they will believe you because you are showing success in all areas of your life, financially, physically, spiritually. Every area will be going good. Okay. Now, the other thing is, number three, do not worry about your life or your debt. God will literally supply all your needs and riches. Now, Satan wants financial challenges to be a pressure upon you. God does not want you to have any pressure upon you in any way, shape, or form. No matter what position you've gotten yourself into, go to God and listen to Him, and He will take care of you. Now, Matthew 6, 25 to 34. This is a little bit long. I'm going to read it because it's important right now. This is how the Amplified. Therefore, I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, or worried about your life. What shall eat or what you shall drink or about your body or what shall put on? Is not life greater in quality than food and the body far above and more excellent than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet our heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not worth much more than they? So God is going to take care of you as long as you're doing things God's way. Okay? And who of you by worrying or being anxious can add one unit of measure to the stature of a span of life? Okay, so we're not to worry about the bills. But we're to do what we can do. We're to do our part. God will help you. I remember my friend Dennis Tannerino, who's now in heaven, but when he had lost everything, was so far in debt, and finally gave his life over to God, he will look at us and tell us, I have no idea how God got me out of my debt challenges. He didn't know. He just started doing things right. He started doing things properly, tithing, and the next thing you know, he was debt-free. Okay? But he put his faith in God. He didn't worry about it. Okay? All right? So I'm going to jump down here. Therefore, do not worry or be anxious, saying, what are we to have to eat? What are we going to have to drink? Or what are we going to have to wear? For the Gentiles, heathen, wish for and crave and diligently seek all these things. Your Heavenly Father knows well that you need them all. But seek, aim at, strive after, first of all, His kingdom and His righteousness and His way of doing and being right. Then all these things taken together will be given to you besides. Do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have its worries and anxiety its own. Be sufficient, for each day has its own trouble. Now, I'll put this into a paraphrase. Take it one day at a time. Do the best you can every day. Go to God. Let Him lead you and guide you. It will work out. Okay. Okay. Number four here, Matthew 11, 28 to 30. God gives rest to those who labor and who are heavily laden. God's yoke is easy and His burden is light. You will find when you start doing things God's way, there's not a lot of pressure upon you. Things just start falling into place. Okay. Zechariah 4, 10. Do not despise small beginnings. The Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Okay, once He sees you beginning, He blesses you. Okay? Proverbs 28:25. He who is proud, greedy heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered, enriched, and blessed. Now we're going to see a lot of strife coming down the road here. The enemy's going to put a lot of strife out there. He's using fear right now with everything you see in the news, and strife is going to start coming. You see some of that now with some of the crimes you see on TV and things that people are doing. But we trust in the Lord, He will prosper us, and we will be safe, okay? Proverbs 3, 9 to 10, honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiency from righteous labors, and with the first fruits of all your income, that your storage place will be filled with plenty, and your vats overflowing with new wine, okay? Job 36, 10, 11, God opened their ears to instruction and discipline, and commands they return from iniquity. If they obey and serve Him, They shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasantness and joy. Okay? Prepare your tithes and offerings for giving them the following. Now, one of the main things I see happening as I talk to people is that they're more worried about their mortgage payment, their tax payment, their credit card payment, than they are about their payment to God. This is wrong. Now, here at ABC, we're very frugal. We're not asking, we don't need your money. That's not the issue here. But if you don't tithe properly, the devourer will devour you. It's that simple. It's the rules. First of all, if you're tithing properly and giving offerings, you're not being greedy. That's one thing that God doesn't like, is greed. Okay? Back in the days, and these call them indenture service here in the United States, back in the early seasons, the 1600s and so forth. But even back in ancient times, they had people who would pledge 7 years for some kind of a benefit from an owner. At the time they were supposed to be released, their orders from God were, supply them liberally from your flock, your threshing floor, and your wine press. Give them as the Lord God has blessed you. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and your Lord has God has redeemed you. That's why I give you this command today. So God is saying to give liberally. That is a command. That is His thing. Now, when you give your tithes, when you give your offering, you don't give to get. You give to bless. God will reward your blessings. But if you don't tithe, He will allow the devourer to take everything you have. So as you do your budget, the first thing you need to do is to write out your tithe check and make sure it gets sent in. It's that simple. There's no question about it. Now, the way you tithe is you write out the check, and then you confess your sins and CRRB. Now, those of you who don't know what that is, give us a call. We'll explain it to you in more detail with a specific prayer to repent of sins that we go through here. Okay? And then I'm going to give you this prayer, which is at the bottom of your outline here, to pray over your tithes and offerings. So repeat after me, because you will be doing it. And I'm calling this that we're in agreement for this. Heavenly Father, I present these holy tithes and offerings to you, my God, my holy God, and according to your word, in Deuteronomy 26:15, I am reminding you to bless me in this land of milk and honey, and in this life of salvation and grace, and in the name of Jesus, I receive the windows of heaven, blessing, and declare that the devourer has been rebuked for me, and it all pertains to me. Thank you, Lord, that you provide all my need according to your riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Amen. Pray that over your tithes. Watch what God will do for you. And prepare for the challenging coming. And I'm going to say this with joy. I don't care what the enemy throws at you. I don't care what comes against you, you will be ready because God is there with you as He was with David going up against Goliath. It doesn't matter what it looks like in the natural. What matters is that you, with God, are invincible in Jesus' name. Amen.
So doing things God's way is always the blessing. And so what we want to do now is to come to the table to partake of the body and the blood of our Jesus. Communion is such a very, very precious opportunity that we have a very special gift from God. So let's take a moment to confess our sins and then we will begin. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that what we remember is that you took those 39 stripes upon your body, paying that price for every sickness, every disease, every infirmity, and every pain that would ever be known to mankind. Modern medicine, with their 39 categories of sickness, disease, infirmity, and pain, when a new one comes along, they don't have a new category. They plunk whatever it is, they name it, and they plunk it into one of these 39 categories. And I'm so glad that they give names to these, because Philippians says that every name shall bow its knee unto the name of Jesus Christ. So over and over again, the word of God is clear that healing belongs to us. We are the healed of the Lord, and we should say so, because we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We could go on and on. Healing scriptures abound in the Word of God in both Old Covenant and New Covenant. So, Jesus' body was broken so our bodies could be made whole, totally healed and made whole. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We partake of the broken body in our hands now to put into our bodies the healing and the wholeness that you purchased for us with your sacrifice. We thank you, Jesus. We honor you and love you. In Jesus' name. In the same manner, after the supper, Jesus held up the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins. This do in remembrance of me." Remission from sins. That means they've been washed away into the sea of forgetfulness, where God chooses to remember them no more. We thank you, Lord, you washed away our sins, and the wages of sins are gone too, because if there's no sin, there's no price to pay for the sin, because it doesn't exist. So thank you, Lord, for that huge, huge gift. We are so grateful to be sin-free, to be made righteous and in right standing with God Almighty. We thank you, Lord, for sealing the old covenant and establishing the new, better, and everlasting covenant with your blood. All these promises available to us, tools, weapons, all that we need for life and for godliness. It's all there in the Word of God. It's all there in the name of Jesus, bought and paid for with the body and the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We do remember, we rejoice, and we now partake together. Thank you, Jesus.